Of your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. We thank you for the gift and sacrifice and offering of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. We celebrate again and continually that he is alive. And I pray that today, through your word, you would speak through your servant. And I would ask that we would see afresh your very loving presence that is with us on the other side of the empty grave. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could, I'd like to take a rabbit trail just for a moment, if you're okay. Guess you don't have a vote choice. I just wanted to pause and give you an update on some of you understand and realize why I was gone for so long from the pulpit, and some of you are scratching your head. And I thought, let me go ahead and just lay it out there real quick, real short. I had asked that if I could take some time. Well, let me back up even from there. I'm finishing up a program at Grace Theological Seminary. I've been in it for I don't know how many years. I actually just took a couple classes like 10 years ago just, you know, to get re-sparked. And I took another and I took another. And all of a sudden I got to the end. They said, there's nothing more for you to do except write a dissertation. What? So that's what I've been trying to do. And my dissertation is connected to the mission trips that I have been taking for years to the country of Mongolia. And some of the things that they face, it actually presented itself. I was going one direction, and that seems so obvious. It has to do with that word I keep using every now and then, syncretism. And something I want to develop a little bit more in our American culture, but now I'm really focusing on syncretism in the evangelical church in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. But actually, I got permission to expand it out throughout the countryside as well. So I'm working on that. Well, because of all the lovely things that have happened to me over the last year, between a hip replacement and then this little bike accident, I got really behind. And far behind, and I thought, I don't know. So I had asked the men if it would be okay, if there was a way I could take a little bit of, they call it, it's a more of a work sabbatical than a rest sabbatical, because it's a lot of research involved in all this. It's not like just writing a paper that at college or even university level at times, and even the master's level at Seminary of Dallas. This is a much bigger deal, so there's a lot involved in it. And those of you who understand or have been involved in it, you know what I'm talking about. So I was it was a lot of work. And I want to thank all of those who helped make that possible, those who said, yes, we think that would be good. And I want to thank you, of course, for being patient. But I got to thank the guys that stayed up here and preached the Word of God while I was here. Praise the Lord, and I'm thankful for them. And that I thought, man, I could take two more months. I'm enjoying the preaching. Why not, right? So it was great. There might come another time where I might have to beg for that. But hopefully, I got my extension permitted. And I should, Lord willing, if he doesn't come or takes me home or whatever else could possibly happen, I should walk this time next year. We'll see. But don't clap. No. I'm still in syncretism. I believe in magic. I'm getting that out of my head. Don't curse me. Pray for me, because it's very hard, and I appreciate that. Now, that was quite a rabbit trail, but I wanted to thank you all personally, and thank you for your prayers, let you know what's happening, and that's why I'm walking around mumbling to myself all the time. Who knows what? Well, anyway, John 20. The next few weeks, I thought I'd kind of walk through some of the events that took place following the resurrection. Oftentimes, we finish Easter, it's a great celebration, then they start a new series. Well, I kind of want to linger on it just a little bit longer and just hit some pictures along the way and pick up a couple, I think, important reminders and lessons for all of us to help us. So, as a way of introduction, you know, many of us have walked through or are currently walking through some pretty difficult traumas. We had two of our brothers and sisters just last week and others this past year, friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, have had their graduation day. Now, we celebrate that, right? That's not like, oh, I'm great for that, but for us on this side of heaven, that can be kind of hard. It's a whole change, and I think we understand that, and we understand that is kind of a trauma thing. Some of our trauma that we face are those such things. They're physical, they're emotional, and spiritual. And by the way, trauma isn't just limited to adults. Teens and kids face it too, and even more so in our generation today. Big time. I remember, just myself as a young boy, I'm not sure how old I was, but I'm pretty sure I was like 8 years old, maybe nine. But I remember attending my uncle's funeral. I didn't know my uncle hardly at all. He was one of my dad's older brothers, and they had all served in the war together. And he was a veteran, and I don't think it's quite possible he never got over the war. So when he came back, unfortunately, one of his ways of coping was the bottle. Yeah. So he was the drunk in the town. And my father, God bless him, a good brother, every time we went and traveled and go to see grandparents, the first thing he'd do, he'd drop us off, say hi, and he'd go find his brother. And he knew where to find him at. Unfortunately, or someone in town could tell him. Well, you know, he struggled, and until eventually, it really did contribute to his death. He was found dead in New River, and that's a pretty strong, tough river if you know anything about West Virginia. So I just remember attending his funeral. First funeral I remember attending. I could have attended others, but that's the one I remember. I was scared to death. There he was at the front, and people are walking by, and I'm just observing. And they're walking by and they're crying. It's this traumatic event. But the trauma had gone on for years. I mean, the death wasn't surprising. It was traumatic, but it was the whole situation. And I remember walking away from that saying, man, I don't know what all that's about, but I certainly don't want to experience that. Now, fast forward 20-some years later. Just newlywed, got a beautiful bride. We're serving in a church in South Florida. And one of our elementary kids in our church dies. And I attend that funeral. That was a different crying than my uncle's. Both were real, both hurt. But it was so overwhelming, the sense of absolute, I can do nothing about this. And I just remember sitting back, and on that one, I sat in the back. It was packed. And just seeing the tears and hearing the cries of mom and dad. I'm sure many of you have your own trauma stories. We all do. I know there are different levels, I get that, but oftentimes in life we have to walk through the deep valleys of the shadows of death. And not just physical death. That's not the worst. You do know that, right? The worst kind of death is the spiritual one, where a person does not know the Lord. I know the Bible that teaches us, it teaches us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. I believe that. You believe that? Sure, I believe that. But in my experience and observing others and my own, I can certainly say it isn't easy. It's not easy, and there's not a magical number of days that an individual will get through it, so to speak, or in some cases, fully get over it. I don't know. I don't think there's some kind of diploma that God's looking for us to grab, the diploma of trauma that we've graduated. Jesus told us that in this world we're going to have tribulations, and I believe that. I also believe that he said this too, I've overcome the world. And I believe that. And some days are better than others, right? For those of us who've walked through that or seen that. The early days following the resurrection actually can help us with this situation. They really can. I want you to think about the trauma that took place in the lives of the individuals. We're going to walk through some of that. But the big idea here is, and if you're into the big ideas, here it comes. When we walk through trauma, God is with us, and he is not silent. I want to look at three passages, so you got your Bible open to John 20. We're going to start there. I'm going to go to John 20, two different places in John 20. I'll guide you, and then we're going to flip over real quick to Luke 24 for a few verses, and then we'll jump right in, all right? All right, let's look at John 20. I brought my glasses, so hopefully it's all going to work good. John 20, let's look at beginning in verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary Magdalene, she stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Let's look at verse 19 now. On the evening of that first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And from Luke 24, beginning in verse 13, this is still the same day. That very day, two of them were going to a village near Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. All right, there it is. There are more. There are like 11 or 12 appearances of Christ following the resurrection, and we're only going to cover those few for a reason today. I just want you to know this. Are you ready? Before the Great Commission, there was the Great Connection. What do I mean by that? I simply mean this. Before Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," he said this, "Peace be unto you." You know what he did in many of these appearances before he ascended and before he gave that great commission? Jesus went looking for wounded people. He went looking for those who were hurt the most, those who are close to him. He ministered to others, absolutely. He talked about the kingdom of heaven. He certainly did. He charged people to follow and believe, absolutely. But he always went after people. those wounded individuals. His followers had just suffered something serious for them. Think about the years that they had come, or years before Jesus even came into his ministry. And then comes Jesus, and now he brings them along. And many of them come into belief, and they come to love him, and to know him, and respect him, and to serve him. And all this, they're excited about the kingdom of God, the Messiah is here, it's all gonna work, and now he's dead. That's a little bit of trauma, don't you think? Everything they thought was right. There's some mental trauma, some mental things going on there. Emotional, spiritual. They're fearful. They're confused. They're depressed. They're despondent. The women were crying. The witnesses were debating. And the disciples were hiding. You don't think that's a problem? I don't find anywhere in the commission where it says, go ye into all the world and cry, debate with them, and by all means hide from them. No. But that's what they were doing. These guys weren't just sad. They were stuck, and they couldn't get out of it. Well, frozen by their grief, drained of their courage, they were locked in a room, desperate for a way to get out, but had no key. Well, in John 20, 10 through 16, that we read a little bit earlier here, we notice that Mary Magdalene is the first one, at least in the recorded Gospels, we believe her to be the first one to that Jesus appeared to. Someone once asked Dr. J. Vernon McGee why Jesus appeared to her first, and he read this psalm. I thought it was a perfect answer. Why not answer a question with Scripture, right? So they asked Dr. McGee, why Mary Magdalene? He quoted Proverbs 8:17, and I'll quote it for you. It says this, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And who was there early in the morning? Mary Magdalene was. She was seeking the Lord, and she found him. She found him. That's a hint for later on as we walk through this. The story, though, kind of takes a strange twist, though, and it's not just here, but here as well. Mary didn't recognize Jesus? Why not? Something wrong with her brain? This yesterday, Dawn and I went to see our moms. We hadn't seen them for a while, and we dropped in on them. And I found my mom in the hallway. Now, they're both in nursing homes, and they're both not themselves. I found my mom in the hallway and took her to the family room. Last time we were there, we had the kids and grandkids with us, and we were all able to talk. And she talked pretty good, and we still kind of razzed each other. This time was different. So she I couldn't understand her very well. And as I'm talking with her, she didn't know who I was. Well, she didn't remember it. It just could be a bad day. Maybe her oxygen was not turned on high enough. I don't know what exactly it was, but there was a shift, all right? But I hadn't seen her in over a month, so it'd been a while. Well, I'm sad about that. My mother-in-law has already been there for a while. So here comes Dawn with mother-in-law. And see, our two mothers right next to each other. And I'm trying to warn Dawn. Dawn, she's not going to know who you are. Before I get a words out of my mouth, she looks at Dawn. She says, hi, Dawn. What am I? I don't know. I don't know why she didn't recognize me. I did get upset and I started tickling her feet, which I know she hates. And she did look at me then and said, you remind me of my son. What? I am your son. I'm the fourth one, the good-looking one. My oldest didn't agree. But anyway, I don't know why she didn't recognize him. There's been theories offered. Take your choice or come up with your own and write a book, right? She was obviously emotionally distraught. I guess you could cry so hard it could affect your vision. I mean, she's just bawling. She's upset. Her mind's not there. She's not connecting. I mean, it says she stood, and there's Jesus. I mean, you would think, hello. She didn't expect him there, possibly. So she was emotional about it. She wasn't really expecting him to see him, I should say, or see him alive, which is interesting. Maybe the resurrected body is another one, was so transformed that she couldn't recognize him. I don't follow that one at all. We really don't know for sure. We do know on the Emmaus Road, that one of the other passages that we read, that there's a reason why they didn't. These two guys aren't crying. They do what men do. They start fighting and arguing. You know, it's a form of love, right? So that's what they do. And they're debating, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And you would think, hey, here he is. But there it says that Jesus kept them from seeing him for a while. So apparently, one of the insights that we could walk away from that is sometimes, even in our grief and trauma, for whatever reason, only God knows, and I cannot answer it, so don't email me about it. I don't know. God does veil himself for a moment in our struggle. There's reasons for it. Now, his in the Emmaus Road is obvious if you read that story. He's interacting with them. He's trying to draw their memories and get those things, the synapses, to start firing a little bit more. And, oh, yeah. So he has to walk through the whole Old Testament with them and the prophecies about Christ and how it was fulfilled. And then they have that meal, and bam, he reveals himself, and then he goes. So Mary's crying in despair. The two men are on the road to Emmaus. They're debating. They're fighting. And what did Jesus do? Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. Look here. John 20, 13, 14, we read it. This is how he does it. He says, Mary. So she turned around and she saw him. In John 20, 19, it says that Jesus came. And he stood there. He's showing up. He shows up with Mary. He's showing up with these disciples. And Luke 24, I love it. It says, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. He's showing up. And there he is. God shows up. And that's part of our big idea. God is here with us. He is here with us. And that's the first big idea. God showed up. He is here. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my spiritual walk where the fact doesn't get to my heart. Anybody with me on that? I know the truth of the word, but there's times, forgive the heresy coming out of my mouth, it's more of a confession of a heresy, I don't always believe it because I don't feel it. The pain is too great. It hurts too deep. But that doesn't change the fact that he's here. Think about the scene with Mary. He was always there. She's having this conversation. And I find it interesting. She had no problem with two angels. With other people, they're falling over dead. The other people are scared and running away. She's just having the conversations with them. I mean, she is really, really tuned in on Jesus, and he's there, and she doesn't see him. But it doesn't mean he's not there. I think that's an important thing to know. You know, in our time, in one of the funerals, I was, believe, Sister Sharon the other day, there was a song that was played, a familiar song. And it's a hymn of the faith. And I think I know the words, but I've asked the folks to pop them up. But I think it's a word in a song, and a word in a song that will help us. And I could use some help, since I tried out for choir last week and I didn't get a call. you would join me here, I think it's good just to pause as part of a remembrance of a fact to hopefully get to the heart. Because there are people today that are carrying all kinds of trauma, and they're not going to openly share them automatically. Some of you might know, many of us do not, and I understand why. But I want you to know that Jesus is there. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And when you're walking through that trauma, strained relationships with parents, with children, maybe a falling apart of a relationship with a friend, possibly a boyfriend, girlfriend, possibly a spouse, and the struggles that come, it's really hard to see Jesus standing there, but he is there. He is talking with you. And some of you have been walking through things, praying for things, asking God to do something for a long time, and wondering if he's even hearing you at all. And I'm telling you, according to the word, he's standing there with you. I cannot answer why he delays sometimes and other times he doesn't, but I know this, he is good. And he does things that are good in his time. And I can't figure it out. I remember the heartaches and the breaking of the hearts and the tears that can flow from separations and all those things. And those are real feelings. Those are raw. But you are not alone. The deceiver would want you to know that no one cares. No one's here. He will lie to you that God doesn't care about you. And that is a lie. He is there and he is with you. He's never left. I've mentioned it before, and you've heard it before, but it's so powerful. I don't mind preaching on it regularly. God is certainly near to us. And one of the best verses comes from Isaiah 43. This was used by Elizabeth Elliot, the missionary, whose husband and several of his fellow missionaries were murdered by the Aka Indians trying to make contact with them, bringing the gospel. Now, she hadn't known at that point that he was killed, But she writes in her books later on, and even her testimonies, you can actually find these testimonies online. I would encourage you to watch them. Just bring a box of Kleenex with you when you do. She says she remembers waking up and thinking, you ever have that feeling, Mom? Mom's got radar. Something's not right. Something's not right. But a verse came to mind, and this is what she read before she got the news. To tell you how much God is near you, here it is. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And those verses prepared her for the news she was about to receive. See, it's God's presence over my emotions. We have to know that fact. God's presence over our emotions from suffering. The fact remains, despite how we feel, God is there in the garden with us. God shows up. He shows up because He's near to us, but I love this. He shows up because he shows up in a way that's personal. He knows us. He knows us. Did you catch it in the text? One simple word, got it. Has us talking with her, and all of a sudden, what does He do? He says her name. Come on. Mary. I don't know. Maybe it was the Emmaus Road thing. I don't know what it was, but bam, there it is. And now, teacher, you, it's you. I know you. It's great to have your name known. During my recovery from my little bike accident I had a few months ago, I had to make a lot of calls, as you can imagine. Some of you know this world. To doctor's offices and healthcare offices and business offices, and if you know, if you've been through it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You kind of have to be your own advocate in many cases when it comes to these things. And it's all have to do with the money, right? How things are going to get paid for? What were the things? And did you put the right CPT code on it? Oh, I said I'd never say those three letters again, but I did. Oh my goodness! And every time I called, I had to go through all this stuff. I was nothing more than a number to them, and it took some of them a long time to even know who I was. And then they finally get my name. Sometimes they pronounce it correctly, sometimes they don't. And here they are, they're reading it, and they say, okay, Mr. Treadway, it's Treadway. Okay, thank you, Mr. Treadway. And then they say, so what happened? I go, you got to be kidding me, right? This is like the fifth time in 4 months here that we've gone. And so you go through the whole thing again. And it's just like, oh, no, they're not all that way, of course, but enough of them are. And so you wonder. But I want to tell you something, that with God, that's not the case. If the Lord Jesus Christ came up right now, he knows your name. This is a true story. First day of class at Dr. Zook Seminary. We were in a lecture hall that was larger than this. I don't know how many of us there were. 400 maybe? I'm just guessing. It was pretty full. And the first day of class, he's taking his time. Class is supposed to start now. It's an hour and a half, so you got a little time. And he's just going row. Of course, I'm Baptist, so I'm sitting in the back row. And I'm like one of the last ones, and I've never met, I had talked to him like a year before, but you know, that was just a phone call about some question I had, and that was it. And he gets to me, and he says, "How you doing, Keith?" "And how's Dawn?" He had memorized every student's name, their spouses, their kids. That makes you not want to fall asleep in class. You don't remember who I am, right? That was amazing. Jesus is that way with you. Now, I'm going to forget some of your names. I forget some of my kids' names. I call Caleb Enoch and Enoch Caleb all the time. That's just the way it gets. Shoo, shoo, shoo. The brain goes and comes. Jesus doesn't forget your name. He knows you. You don't have to get on the line and go through all the, "Oh, yeah, let me walk through here. Oh, yeah, you're number 774656. Oh, man, yeah, I know you. You got issues." God already knows our issues, right? He knows everything about us. And so that's how we know God is with us. It's not just he's with us standing next to us, which is awesome that he is. He knows your name. He knows your situation. He knows the core issue of what's really going on, what's really happening. There's the situation we talk about sometimes. It's the situation we share in prayer requests sometimes. And then sometimes there's the real issue. And God knows that. And he is still there and loves you. Do you know that? God loves you that much. Can you handle that? "But I sin." Yeah, and God knows your sin. And he loves you anyway. "But he doesn't know what I've done." He knows exactly what you've done. And he loves you anyway. He's there to try to connect you with the Father. Now, you may have been connected at some point by trusting in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith and in him alone, and now you have been redeemed. But as with all of us, and if you were not sure, read Romans chapter 7, we struggle with the old man, don't we? And I'm not talking about grandpa either. I'm talking about that flesh in us. We struggle with that. And God knows us by name, and I just wonder sometimes, and every once in a while I actually laugh in prayer during my confessions and say, it must be kind of funny for you, God. And here I am, "Hi Lord, it's me again." Oh, Keith Treadway. No, he doesn't say that. He knows my real name and knows how to pronounce it. God knows who I am. I love this, John 10:3. He, Jesus, calls his own sheep by name. Did you hear that? He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Well, I feel like I'm going in circles. Well, maybe that's God running you in circles for a reason. But it says in the Word that he's leading you out. Maybe it's a maze. And you just be in the maze all your life, so he's working your way through the maze. And maybe along the way, the maze has got all kinds of lessons that you need to have. Because on the other side, he's got something amazing for you to do. And along the way, he's got great things for you to do, but something amazing out there. And he's leading you along the way. He leads you out. He knows your name. That's God. He's showing up. He's here. He's near to us. And he knows our name. No matter what challenging place we're in, we can walk through our trauma with that. When we realize that the God who loves us is here. And that's the first big idea, the foundation of this whole deal. How do I walk through trauma? How do I deal with this? You need to know that there is a God in heaven who loves you, and he's revealed himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's shown himself through his creation, his word, his body, and he is there. He is here. He is knows you. He's a personal God. He's not some God that has a number. He loves you, and you can have a relationship with him. And he is in the garden of hell with you. in those difficult times. And he's walking with you. And he's talking with you by name. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. The beginning of all healing comes when we reconnect with the God of the universe through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're saved or lost, that's still the starting place. Some people have said some difficult things recently. Some people had some very difficult things in the past. And God was there, and he's here with you now. And the way through it is with him. So God is here. But the second part of that idea is not only God is here, and this is the big foundation, God is not silent. I just want you to consider just the three stories we just went through quickly. First with Mary. With Mary Magdalene, Jesus knew her heart. Oh, she loved him so much. She was very hurt. And she needed to hear his voice. So what does he do? He's been there the whole time. He speaks to her. That's what he does. Mary. Mary. With the two men, these guys who loved to debate, Jesus knew what they needed. They needed someone to disciple them in the debate. So rather than just saying their names, and we only know one of their names, he starts interacting with them. He gets into their world, and now he's talking about, oh yeah, this, don't you remember this? What? This is what happened. This is what the prophet meant. And he walks through scripture with them, reinforces the idea that Jesus had to die and that he would rise again from the dead. The Father would raise him, and he drives that point home. And then they're alive and wake again. It is true. Whoa! With the disciples, they just needed to see him again. So what does he do? That evening, saves the best for last, right? He'd already seen Mary, walked on the Emmaus Road. This is all the same day. And then at night, because at night's when they wanted to have that meal with him in Emmaus, and he goes from there, shows up. Hey, guys. You talk about popping into parties. Boo! So these disciples, when they see him, they are stoked. Oh, my goodness. Reinforces their faith so much. And he would do more of that before he goes. But reinforces their faith so much, it changed them forever. And those guys, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, turned the world upside down. Now I want you to know that in our traumas, in our difficulties, in the challenges, in the things that we're praying for, we're on our knees, the tears are flowing. You need to know that God is right in that room with you. You need to know that he knows your name. You need to know that he understands exactly the prayer you're praying. And the better thing is that he knows more about the facts of what's really going on with the issue you're praying about than you do. And he's joining with you. In fact, your prayers, the scripture tells us, he takes those prayers and he's able to present them to the Father properly. That's how much he loves you. He's able to do that. But he's not silent. He speaks to us in so many different ways. Here Jesus is going after those who have just been beaten up the last few days. And he's healing and he's bringing them back. And he's caring for them. And God speaks us today in so many ways. Come on, you know. I bet we could have some fun here, but we're not going to take the time to do it, how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. Amen? Amen? So that would be kind of important. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. Baptists, it's okay to say amen. Amen. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He is alive and well on planet Earth. He speaks to us through his body of Christ. And then we have a lot of list after that. He speaks to us through his creation. He speaks to us sometimes in the quietness of the day. And sometimes in the loud part of the day. I think the problem has to do with our hearing. I just read this morning and I said, I've got to share this. It kind of goes along with this. Tony Evans tells this story. I don't know if it's true, but it's a great illustration. But of this Native American is walking through New York City with the businessman. And how many of you have been to New York City? It's like Chicago, except bigger. And it's noisy at times, amen? Yeah, it's noisy. And he's walking with him, and he says to the businessman, "Do you hear the crickets?" The businessman says, "What are you talking about? Do I hear the crickets?" He says, "Do you hear the crickets?" "I don't have a clue what you're talking about. There's too much noise around here." And he says, "No." And he bends over and looks and reaches down. According to the story, he picks up and there's a cricket in New York City. Now, maybe they were near the park, so that story works there, right? So they got a cricket. And the businessman's jaw just went, "How in the world did you hear that?" Well, he does something at that moment. He takes out a bunch of money and drops it on the sidewalk. And the businessman testifies that all the people stopped and looked at the money. And then he turned to the businessman. He says, "You listen to what you're tuned into." God speaks to us. And one of the reasons we don't hear very well is because of the noise of our lives. Christian, there's a better way. And whether you're in trauma or not, these are great lessons for us. What's the noise that distracts us from hearing God talk to us? I'll tell you what, I could get caught up in all kinds of things that I shouldn't get caught up into. I can get caught up so much. I love helping people. We have a counseling program here and a ministry here that we love to help people. And many of you are involved in so many different ways with that. And thank you. And that's great. But man, we need to help people to learn to listen to the cricket. I can show you the passage in the Bible, and that's good. But wouldn't it be great if you could find it and feed on it? That's what it's about. And if for us to get through our difficult times and through our traumas, there's those things that we've got to grab onto. The foundation is God himself. That's where it all starts. It's who he is, his word, his character, his promises are true. You could count on him, and he is here, and he is with us, and he is with you, and it hurts like crazy. I don't know when it'll go away. I do not know, but I know this. He's in the garden with you, and he knows your name. And he knows even more than you do what the real issue is. And he is not silent. So what are you and I waiting for? It is as simple as, "Lord God, in the midst of the traffic, in the middle of the horns, and the sound of feet on a concrete sidewalk, I want to hear you. I'm hurting. You already know this. In fact, you're working it out already, despite my prayers or not. That's how much you love me." That's what God wants to do for you. And however long it takes. And I don't know if that lady who's buried her little boy I don't know how her life turned out, but I know that God was with her. And I know that God made something beautiful from it. Why do you know that? Because that's who He is. And that's who He is for me. Why don't you and I go to the Lord together right now? I want to pray with you as you pray for me too. That God will help us all not be victims anymore, but victors. Not that we're going to all of a sudden magically, poof, now I'm feeling great. Oh, you're going to always have that shiny knife in your drawer. And it's sharp. But God is greater. Let me pray for you. Father, as we come to our end of our time here this morning, there are folks here, there's lots of folks here, praise God. And many of them have walked through trauma. They've walked with friends through trauma. They've witnessed others. And sometimes we handle it well, and sometimes we get stuck. And God, I'm one that could get stuck sometimes. I don't know about them. I'm sure there's a few. And Father, we might be there. And I pray that we will get back to the foundation. First of all, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you that you are here. You are in their life. You love them. You redeem them. You care for them. And your promises are yea and amen for them. Help us to reconnect with that in our pain as we walk. And help us to remember as well, not only are you with us through our life, but you are not silent. May the noise that we have allowed to come in not overwhelm the crickets that are rejoicing in their Creator. May the sound of your word through your spirit into our hearts create and renew our minds so that on this side of heaven we can be victors as well as we walk through the difficult challenges of life. Changed? Amen, we are. Changed for the better? That's our prayer. And it's possible. In Christ. Help my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray for the one here who hasn't come into a relationship with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've celebrated Easter. The story is clear. Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and we thank you for that. And I pray now, Father God, that you will. In an amazing way, work in their heart to bring them faith. May they trust in Jesus, the one who died for them and rose again. May they realize their sin is what separates them from God. And attending here and believing this and it's all in their head is good, but it's not saving. They must trust in Jesus alone. For let us confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead and that we will be saved. We must turn from what we're trusting in, Lord God. We must repent from that. For sin will keep us down, but faith will set us free. We trust in Jesus. I pray that's the case today. We pray this in His name. Amen.